In the book of Luke, the 14th chapter, if you've got your Bibles, you read with me. It's good to have Sister Linda back. So thankful that God answered prayer. She's very efficient in the offices, and her and Betty are real close together in the office work. And it's really good to have her back. I know Frank's happy. It's a load off of him. The 14th chapter of the book of St. Luke, reading at the first verse. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go, and answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbor, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. When thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. Well, they cannot recompense thee, but thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. We could tell right here that Jesus had the same problems that the ministry of today has. You can see that everything that Jesus started to do, whether it was to heal somebody, or whether it was to preach a sermon, or whether it was to give counsel or advice, that in every instance, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the lawyers, and the government, even Herod and the governments of that day, every one of them was ready to pounce on Jesus. It makes me to believe or to know in Christ that this must be the same Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, or why is it that everybody is finding so much fault? The world loveth its own. Surely the world doesn't find fault with its own, for the world loveth its own. But the Bible teaches that we're not of this world. It's like the lady that made the statement up here concerning the school. She said, I spoke about this world and about us having concern about the children and their education in this world, and then suddenly it dawned on her that maybe we didn't care that much about this world. And she stated in the paper, said, maybe they don't care so much about this world. And really, that's the way it is. See, we are not of this world, so then why should we care about this world? See, the world and the lust thereof is going to pass away. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Our interest is not in this world, but our interest is in the world to come. And if we are not of this world, then we're not seeking the securities and benefits of this world. We are confident that God is going to provide for us, and God is going to look after us and meet all of our needs. Is that right? All right. We consider the lilies of the field. God takes care of them. Isn't that right? Consider the little birds. God takes care of them. I know a lot of times we misuse some of those things, you know, and we feel like, well, we shouldn't do anything. But the little bird's just as busy as he can be. Amen. That's right. He's very busy. But he doesn't trust in the arm of flesh, does he? He doesn't try to pile up and hoard. He just goes from day to day trusting God that's going to be enough for tomorrow. That's what God wants us to do. Is not to lay back, not to pile back, not to feather our nest, not to try to get a little nest egg over here and a little something over here, but just trust God that there'll be something for tomorrow and just be as busy as the little bees doing whatever we got to do. But at the same time, remember that God is going to make a way for tomorrow. Don't try to hold back something for tomorrow when you could feed some hungry person for today. All right, so then we see that Jesus had the very same problems that you and I have today. The same battles that you have when you go to testify about God and His goodness. Then Jesus had the same battles, same problems. He tells us here just to be humble and sincere, go on our way and continue to obey, to honor, and God will exalt us and God will lift us up. Not to care about being a doctor of divinity or not to strive to try to get in the spotlights of the world, but just to do what God wants us to do. Just do just like the story we hear a lot of times about Cinderella. Just stay back there and take care of the master's business. Just take care of the master's business. I was just thinking how that God, in spite of all the criticism, God is picking out the little Bethlehem Cinderellas and putting them right up on the front page and putting them their names right there in the paper and putting them on television here and there and radio and everywhere. When a lot of them up at the denominational churches has chose to powder and paint and do everything and try to get in the spotlight and everything else, and God's passing them by and paying no attention to them at all. Isn't that right? So then he said, just take the low place, and when God gets ready, he'll call for you. I believe he's ready, don't you? Hallelujah. I believe he's ready. So then we'll just go right on trying to do the things that God would have us to do. Now, I thought about Brother Atlee. He worked out here, and some of the other brethren, they worked with their hands. They worked so hard, building the buildings and painting the buildings and working the grounds and digging and trying to do everything they could. And now, whose church is it that they put in the paper? Their work, that men might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And your testimony in the printed page is going around the world. So, God is looking down. He knows what to do. We don't have to go anywhere. Somebody say, you need to get out from here. You need to do this. And well, if you want to get in the spotlight, you better go over yonder and go over here. But did you know Jesus never did go anywhere much? Did you know that? You check up on him in history, and he never did get very far from his own hometown. But he was a celebrity, isn't that right? All through the Bible, everywhere on the tongues of everyone. And I know that we're going to be on the tongues of some maybe that we wouldn't like to be on the tongues of. David said they attacked at him in his day, and he said, I become the song of the drunkard. So I know that we get on the tongue of some, maybe it don't sound too good, you know. But nevertheless, it's still Jesus. It's still Jesus. Now, I look today and I see the things that's taking place. I noticed that the paper commented concerning what we said about Jimmy Carter. But you know, I feel this way. The things that I see maturing and taking place, to me, lets me know that the time is here for God to call His people. Because of course, I see a lot of things in Revelation that I so desire to put together and give to you, but they're piling up so many, so much, until I have to go back there and take a whole week to bring them up to date. You know, I can't, for a while, I was just trying to give you a little bit tonight, and then when they come tomorrow, give you a little bit, kind of keep you up to date, but we kind of got into a slump or something, and I kind of held off, and now we done got way behind with them. But anyway, just commenting on some of the surface things that we can see, I know that the thing that Jimmy done here concerning Taiwan really stirred up things. I made the statement the other night. I said, this isn't going to work. I said, he's not representing our government, because our government, which is the Senate, wasn't pleased with what he done. And I said, it's a one world government, one man government. It's a one man regime. I made the statement, I said, when Jimmy goes into office, what he will do will seek to become a world ruler. Isn't that right? Is he doing it? He didn't do it to start with. And I said the government will be taken out of the hands of Washington and be moved from Washington to Atlanta, Georgia. Isn't that right? Look at the papers in Atlanta caring about Talmadge. Always Atlanta. Look how that Kissinger immediately had his world conference in Atlanta. Look how they built that world conference building in Atlanta. Look how that Jimmy Carter sprang up from Plains, Georgia to function through Atlanta, the nearest office, because that's just a stop in the road out there. Look how he sprang up at this time and went to Washington and has completely took the government out of the hand of the Washington officials. He overrode Senate. He changed the federal government. Everything that they'd done or stood for, he has completely rearranged it, changed it, and when they said no, he did it anyway. The government is one-man government, an Atlanta, Georgia government. That's what it is. He took it out of Washington. He brought it to the one man, Jimmy Carter, Atlanta, Georgia. And in Washington, they just do whatever Jimmy wants to do. All right, so then we see everything shaping up. Jimmy overriding Senate like he did and doing the things he did over yonder concerning Taiwan when they stated that Taiwan had kept all of their commitments, all of their pledges. That is, whatever they said they would do, they'd done it. Their agreements, they kept them. But America didn't keep hers. They just turned, as it would be, on Taiwan in that they had offered her defense against communist China, turned right around and took Peking, and the very place that they had never recognized as a government, all of a sudden, communism, the worst enemy of Taiwan, they lifted it up and recognized it as a government. Taiwan so upset over it that they threatened to make the warheads, missile warheads, and pay America back for what she done to them. See, instead of Jimmy making peace, they cry peace and then sudden destruction. Everything is getting in a turmoil. Everybody's getting upset. The Bible said nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and that there is no peace to the wicked. When they cry peace, then comes destruction. Everything is just boiling like a pot right now. I made the statement, I said, China is like the last piece in the puzzle. I said, when that comes in, that'll start it. I said a long time ago, I said, if you watch China, that's what's going to cause the problem right there. They'll be the one. And sure enough, when they come in, it started problems. It started the teapot to boiling. Now, I believe this. And that's why I say it. Jimmy is one of the shrewdest men probably in the world. He knew that the time that he came in, at the very time that he came in, there would not have been a chance for him to have been president. He knew that. But at that very time, presidents being shot and people not caring too much for the office and nobody believing in anybody, he saw his chance. And he made it. He come in. Not only that, but Jimmy is shrewd enough that he realized that unless he could go communist, that he could never rule the world. He was shrewd enough to know that as long as communist China was excommunicated, as we would say, from the American government, that made them our enemy and caused the greatest body of people in the world to lean in the direction of Russia, making them an ally with Russia. That would give them the greatest power against us, and we had no power to overcome. So then Jimmy, being shrewd enough to know that communism was the coming government, he knew that if it come into power, that they would kill him, that they would take over. And they tell me Ford agreed with him in it. Ford knows he'd be on the chop block too. So then the thing they did was move in that direction. Moving in that direction, that caused communism to come to America. How many of you remember what I said about when he honored Elvis Presley like that? I said the Lord didn't like that, and that ended the whole thing, and God was going to frown on him and wrap the whole thing up and do away with it, and right after that he hoisted the communist flag. I made the statement, I said, Billy Graham, is that one that's causing the problem, and that they're listening to him as a prophet? Isn't that right? He went over there, come back, and said, I apologize to communism for all the things that I've said. He said, I'm sorry, I was mistaken about communism. They're fine people. I agree that they're fine people. But their way of life is not fine at all. And then when he said that, Jimmy Carter immediately went to bat for communism, raised the flag, and went communist. God showed me something about the government. I don't know nothing about the government, but God knows everything about it. He took me and he got me down in the middle of the floor, gave me a pencil of paper, and I began to write. And he showed me the Republican government. He showed me the Democratic side of it. And he let me run it out, showed me how it completely functioned, everything, the money coming in, what it was for, how it went out, the way it was spent. I was absolutely astounded. I felt like a college student when I got through. But he went through the whole thing and showed me all about it. It was perfect the way it functioned. And he run the Democratic Party out, and it went to seed. He run the Republican out, and it took a little longer for it to go to seed, but it went to seed. And then he run the communists out, and it didn't go to seed. And the Lord let me know something. I said, God, I see right now that the Democratic policy nor the Republican policy, neither one of them can last. But communism is a government that will last. It'll keep turning over and over. And the Lord said to me, it's because it is a type of all things common, which is the Christian government. And communism will take over. And we made the prediction that the Pope of Rome would come to America about that time, whereas he did. Now, Jimmy, knowing these things, understanding, having read the book of communism, I'm sure, Mark's book of communism, no doubt in his mind, he felt like this. Russia has no right to say that she is the communist power of government. China has no more right than Russia, inasmuch as Russia says she's the leading government, and China says she's the leading government. No doubt Jimmy figured, well, we'll just move it over here to America and instigate this new government. We'll be the leading government. And I made the statement, and Bill brought it to my attention tonight from the paper, said it worked out that way. I said, Brother Bill and some of the others, I said, Russia will bow down to America. I said, Jimmy knows when he gets China, Russia will take a bow to America. Did the paper state that she was doing it, Bill? Now, see, what it was, Jimmy knew that if he could swing that great power in the favor of America, that they would be allies. Because China doesn't like Russia that much anyway. So then to go communist was to win China. And that's what he did. And now then we've got the greatest force and power in the world. He's got every opportunity to rule the world now. And Russia has to take a bow. Because he was shrewd enough to undermine Russia in what he was doing and get everything set up to his benefit. Whereas you can't criticize a man for being foxy. Being shrewd, that's good. If I was in office, I'd try to get world peace. I'd do everything I could. Paul said, being crafty, I caught you with guile. I think it's wonderful if he can do it. If he can outwit them, that's good. Nothing wrong with that. But the thing is God in the whole arrangement? If it was going to bring peace, I would say that God was in the arrangement. But in that the Bible said there's no peace to the wicked, then God isn't in the arrangement. Therefore, the motive cannot be for world peace, but rather for world conquest. And that's where it's headed, is dictatorship. If that isn't right, why did Jimmy override Senate? Why did he override the government? If he's trying to establish a government, the Bible teaches a divided kingdom can't stand. If you establish something and you violate the thing that you established, how can you have a sound government? All right, now then, figure that Taiwan was a little nation. They couldn't do anything. But it looks like they're going to do more than Jimmy thinks that they're going to do. It looks like he stirred up a little hornet nest over there, as we would say. But at any rate, his shrewdness has made him to see that through communism that he can become a world power. And that he can rule the world through the powers of communism. And he saw that capitalism was going to seed. That capitalism would never do it. That as long as you got a capitalistic government, it means that Brother Joseph is just as much in command as I am, and that he's got a part of it. It means that our standards of gold that covers our paper money gives me the power of investment and Joseph the power of investment. It gives Brother Bobby the power of investment. That makes us, collectively speaking, the government. We can control it because Solomon said money answers to all things. Therefore, we could control it. But when they change it around to communism, we don't have any control. It's whoever is in command to support as an appointment or an appointee, that is the one that is in command. That is the one that has control. There is no stockholders. It's an undermining way to take you off of the board, as we say. It's an undermining way to do away with your power as government. Completely does away with you and me and everybody. It cannot be a democracy. Democracy is a democratic government. There is no democracy to that. You don't have any power over the government because you don't have any investment in the government. If there was some kind of a business out here and you was an investor in it, you'd have power over it. But you don't have any investment in it anymore. The money that you hold is not backed up by gold. A shrewd, undermining way to take over from the money man. Money men that don't understand that's got millions of dollars in the bank. They don't have anything in the bank as far as investment in the government. They don't have any control there. Whereas in the early days when our forefathers collected their efforts and came over and put all their monies together, that the poor might have a government and might benefit by their wealth. It's not like that anymore. They've completely done away with the gold standard. So then all you have, as we've said in the past, is a governmental note. That note is no good as far as being a stockholder in the government. Now, not only have they done away with the capitalistic government, in that they've done away with the standards, but the money that they have printed to replace it, to use in just a temporary way, they are working now to eliminate that money, the paperwork, which will save millions of dollars more, which will also take away any right that you have and just put it under a numerical system of computers, numbers, to bring it to the mark of the beast. But it might head up into one man, but he might have world control. And so then we see that they have shrewdly, cunningly all worked together. Look at Jimmy and Ford. They were supposed to be such enemies. Look how they bickered and tried to bite at each other. I remember one of their debates. Sharp enemies. But why is it that all of a sudden that Ford is so much in harmony with Jimmy? Because it's all been a communistic thing to begin with. All of them working together. Nixon, Ford, Jimmy, all of them working together to bring in the powers of communism. And every one of those great men know that if communism takes over and they see that capitalism is going out, if communism takes over, that they're going to be beheaded or they're going to be put in prison or shot or whatever, they're glad to bring in a communist government to keep from being killed. You follow what I'm saying? All right, so then, to me, I see the capitalist government gone. I want to look at it just a minute. We're going to let you go in just a little bit. But I see the capitalist government gone. I want you to listen real close now. The capitalist government being taken away, it's gone. Jimmy realized that it was leaving because we're so far in debt, in our national budget. Until there is no such thing as a capitalist government. To have a capitalist government, you've got to have something to operate on. You've got to capitalize off of something. And there's nothing to capitalize off anymore. It's just a credit system. You understand what I'm saying? There ain't but one that's got the answer to it, as far as the natural part. That's the Rothschilds, who can finance a whole war. To bring them in, the money powers, through a communistic thing. And that's exactly the way it's going. So then Jimmy took another look. He saw the Catholic Church. He realized that one of the greatest money powers in the whole world is the Catholic Church. And he saw that the Catholic Church was turning away from capitalism and going with communism. Whereas we made the statement, if you remember, said that the great whore, which is the Catholic Church, will be carried by the beast, which is communism. Turned away. Turned from capitalism and said, we are going to the Communist Party. They done it after I made the statement that I made. Now, Jimmy saw that by them going to the communist government, that he was fixing to lose enough money, the world power money, which is the powers of Catholicism. He was fixing to lose everything. And sure enough, capitalism would just fold up just like a rag. So then the only way to stabilize that thing and to keep that thing was to go communist. And then the Catholic Church would automatically feel secure and feel relaxed and feel at home right here under the regime of what we once have known as Catholic government. Now, weighing all these and being shrewd and watching, he saw these things. So he moved in such a way that he's been able to save face, as we say. He knows that he's got Israel turned in his direction, though they're not pleased. Got all of the other countries practically one way or another turned in his direction. And he knows that he has seized them enough that he's got enough strength to do what he wants to do, whether the Senate likes it or anybody else likes it. Because he's got them in such a way that you've just about got to let him do what he wants to do. If you oppose him, you're liable to really set the powder keg off right now. All right. This is what I see. I made the statement. I said that American government has finished its course. And I really believe that. And in that it has finished its course, the Lord has shifted the government. Because it come up to a terminal. And then when it did, it had to terminate. Or it had to split off, as we say, in a Y. When the government run its course, beginning all the way back from the time of Adam, every government right on down, when it finally run its course and went the last lap of the way, it came to the place of termination. Now, God, to keep down frustration, to keep people from panicking, he had always has to do something when a government's about to fall. So then as it started into its dilemma, it was to make its change. But it had to make its change over to a communist government. Whereas God will not be in a communist government. It doesn't matter how much Jimmy says he's religious or whatever, God will not be in a communist government. It is an atheistic government that God will not be in. So it means that God's governmental stride through the earth and down through the centuries or the time and ages has terminated. If God's governmental stride among men has terminated, then that means that the next government has to be of the devil. But the thing is, if that is the satanic government coming in, then it means that God has ended his government as far as among men. But we know that God's government has no end. Because the Bible said the government shall be upon his shoulders. There is no end to God's government. He started with Adam, the Son of God. It must end up with the Son of God. It's run its course through humanity. So then what is it doing? If it has terminated as far as man's concerned, and satanic forces has instigated its government, then that means that God, just before the instigation of Satan's government, God breached it over. Because his government was to go back to the Jewish people who ought to set up a kingdom in the earth to rule the world. But there is another power that is greater than the Jewish power, and that is the sons of God, for the government is upon their shoulders. So I know that you didn't believe it. Some of you still don't believe it. But when that government terminated, God shifted the government to little Bethlehem, to the people of God are here. That's what he did. That's why the flag went up like it did, and no doubt that's why Grady had the vision of the soldiers coming out here. When they hear about it and find out about it, Herod and all of his forces will be out here to kill the babe. Now, but nevertheless, that's what happened. That's why God is at this moment. I told the people that God would elevate it, magnify it. And once he got the others out of it, he'd glorify it, magnify it, bring it up. And so he has. Why is he picking it up in the eyes of millions of people? Why is he doing that? Because that government has ended. When they hoisted that communist flag that took them completely away from God, and God's people took that government, that government was reached over to God's people, and God started a preview here at Little Bethlehem, just exactly like he did over there at Pentecost for that thing to run through the dark age, or this over here to run through the tribulation. God is previewing it. And once it's previewed, then comes the tribulation, and then the great ark of God rides right on over into the millennium, and there the sons of God rule the world. Did you notice that on the paper, it was a strange thing. You know how Brother Branham said the flood would back out into Arizona? Did you notice that on this paper, right over the picture, it says, was it millions? Thousands. Flee the flood. Is that the way it was? Thousands of people flee the flood. Now, why in the world would they put that like that? And right down under the picture said, making ready for the last day. Noah, as it was in the last day, fleeing the flood. All of it fit together. God made them do that. Isn't that right? So then, everything fit together just perfectly. God working it out to where the breach overcame. Brother Bobby, you remember your vision about seeing them hoist their flag up there and how our flag was hoisted out here. Remember that? All these things taking place, and now the thing being breached over. That's why that they played it up with the currency. The paper photographed our currency. Why didn't they photograph another bill? Why, he had a number of bills there before him. And people money-minded would have picked out at least a 30 or 40. But he picked out a $1 bill. Why did he do that? And why did he liken the $1 bill to Washington when we're out here at Mount Vernon and a new thing's getting started, another colony? See, something is in the makings. God is making Satan testify to what he's doing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's so wonderful. All right, so then we see everything shaping up. And it is a new thing that's coming on. So then the breach over has come. Now, if the breach over has come, that indicates the birth of the babe. If the birth of the babe comes, then what happens? It is caught up. Where? To the celebrities, everywhere. Isn't that right? I said here a while back that the babe had been born in a heart. Here it goes up to the throne. Right on up to the power of riches. The same thing happened at Pentecost. Pentecost, the babe was born. Isn't that right? The church. The first church born, the first news you know. It didn't take long in Constantine. They jumped down on it. They fought it. They tried to burn him at the stakes. But it wasn't long before Constantine picked it up and it was a kingdom thing. Isn't that right? And I made a statement a long time ago. I said, the very same thing will repeat itself. I said, watch and see. Now then we see that God has breached it over. Why has he breached it over? Because the government of the United States has fallen. It's gone. Babylon has fallen. Babylon the Great has fallen. She's become the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Hippies and dope addicts and sex maniacs and everything. Thieves and robbers and murderers and everything. She's fallen. Now, so then God breached it over. And in doing it, he has started something that will never end. The Bible said, to his kingdom there shall be no end. I made the statement, I said, when it went on Channel 46, and I spoke about News Alive and what it had to do with, and when it went on there and what God was doing, I spoke about it. And sure enough, Channel 46 sends us a Christmas card, sends us a double potion out here. Sends us two Christmas cards. I don't know how we rated that. But sent us two Christmas cards. The Bible said that everything be established in the mouth of two witnesses. So they sent us two witnesses saying, unto you a babe is born, a child is given. Hallelujah. So it really shows that something is taking place. the foolish and the base things of the world to confound the wise, but God doing something to show us the way. I see in this that the Lord has breached it over. And the government, I don't believe that you can doubt now that America is communist. Can you? She recognized the Chinese government, the communist government. When has she ever done that before? Communism has always been her number one enemy. Are there enemies anymore? Somebody tell me now. Somebody said, well, they're just trying to be kind to her. The Bible said, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? If they are agreed, then are they one? Is that right? That means she's communism. So then America has become communist. She's now a communist country, and that's where we're standing. I made the statement that Kissinger would pave the way for it, and Jimmy would bring it right on in. He done it, didn't he? Right on down to the T. Everything has happened. You know what happened about Brother Bradley and the Sisters of Visitation, the little image that came, the crown and different things, and how it came over. We said it was on its way back to the Jews, and the middle wall of petition rejected it, the Catholics. And I said the reason was because they didn't have it. It stopped at Little Bethlehem. All right. So then Paul said, there is a crown for me. Not only for me, but everyone that loves his appearing. All right, there's a lot of things we'd like to say tonight, but I just from night to night comment on a few little things. I say this, children of God, that if you could have seen the papers, the clippings the other day, one right after another, the rage of Taiwan, the rage of Taiwan, and the stir, you'd have known that what we're saying is true. And you remember one thing. I said, Russia will take a bow because of China. Right. Now, you can be sure of one thing. She's having to take a bow. But it ain't because she wants to, and it's not because they're planning to let it be that way. Maybe one of these nights, if the Lord's willing, we'll have a little teaching again, a refreshers course, set the board up here, and have another little refreshing course on the beast, the constitution of the beast, what nations will do it and how it'll come about, and how we can recognize it. Let's everybody stand together. Now tonight, we've had a little heart-to-heart talk. I know that numbers of you was kind of, the papers was a little besetting, and I just wanted to have a little heart-to-heart talk with you to kind of reaffirm and retrace our footsteps a little bit to where you can understand what's taking place. There's definitely a great thing that's taking place. I hope you can see it. A lot of times I'm afraid that we don't see it, folks, until they point the gun at us and get ready to pull the trigger. And then when we're looking down the end of a gun barrel, we say, I see it. But sometimes it's a little bit late. But let's pray. Let's pray to God that He'll have mercy on us and help us. Because we're like sheep in the midst of wolves. And on Channel 11 Alive and in the Atlanta Journal, on both of those programs or paper, whatever, they emphasize the bank and the money. Isn't that right? In the paper, they played it up about the money we had in the vault, whereas they're so mistaken. Be nice if we did have a lot of money out there. But see, those that are out yonder thinking about money thinks about a little campground, no police to protect it, just bukus of money, as we say. Run in there and shoot somebody down, shoot two or three of them, grab it, and let's go. I don't know whether you noticed it or not, but right at the top of the paper where it said thousands flee, it says that they robbed an armored car. Isn't that right? Robbed an armored car and got about $1 million. So that means trouble. And then knowing that we are standing for a government, that means that they charge it with conspiracy. So then, whatever, it means problems and more problems. The paper did not stop with interviewing our neighbors. Everybody that they could in the way of the merchants, the leaders of the school. But they also contacted the federal men. And they wanted to know about our reserve out here and about our money. Whereas you know that we had a confrontation not too long ago in the Capitol with the federal men because of our currency. And the paper stated, as some of you know if you read it, that the federal men said as long as the Bethlehem money is kept in Bethlehem, it's not going to bother us, we're not going to do anything. What they meant was they couldn't do anything. Because the very moment that some of it got out here a while back, a check, they'd done everything they could, from curse and snort to I don't know what. But anyway, that's where we're standing. That's where we're standing. Now then, we should be wise as serpents, bold as a lion, harmless as a dove, gentle as a lamb. And if we can do that, we can make it. Just pray and ask God to help us. Use all the wisdom you can in talking to people. These things I say unto you. And I know that we've always got Judases among us and betray us. And I know that they're going to take it, and I know what they're going to do with it. Because they're out to get me. And they never rest till they got Jesus. And I know they're out to get me. One way or another, they're out to get me. But at the same time, I've told you the truth. How many of you believe that the Christian government is the coming world government? Then I've not lied to you. Is that right? All right. So then we see that God has done something. That one has terminated out there. And I might be wrong. And if I am, you'll have a chance to find it out. But I say that there won't be any follow-up government after communism. That'll be Antichrist government. And that'll terminate things. If there's another government comes after that, and communism don't do the job, then you'll know that I'm mistaken. But I say that the communist government will be Antichrist government. It'll run right into the Antichrist government, and that will be it. And those that have not escaped and gotten out needs to right away. I know they've had sayings about me, and they tried to number me with Jim Jones and everything else. Even some of my own people. But whereas Paul used the terms that some of the those that are among you will rise up and lead men astray after them. But at the same time, the papers clarified that point, that we were not like the Jim Jones, that we believed in life instead of death. But in spite of the fact that they have tried to number me that way, I had a night vision the other night. You've had some night visions, and I've had some night visions. And I had a night vision, and in this night vision, I saw people under the regime of a slender-looking man that was one of the cruelest men perhaps that I've ever seen. One of the most cunning men that I've ever seen. Had his kingdom so strong that nobody apparently could penetrate it. And he was very confident that nobody could move him. Very hard on his people. Strict. A big kingdom. I saw him so strict on the women folk that they were beaten at different intervals to subdue them and keep them under control, and also cut like with knives. And the women never rebelled against it. They took it as part of their, of that which has been incorporated in their lives as their daily ordinance. But in the vision, the Lord had me to go just beyond where he was and go down like over a little rise down a hill. And in this vision, it appeared that down at the bottom of this hill was where the man William Branham had ended his ministry. And I was directed in the vision to go to the bottom of the hill because I was to pick up William Branham's ministry at the bottom of the hill and take over where he left off and to come back up to the top of the hill. And this I did. And when I came back to the top of the hill, in the vision, I overthrew the man that thought he could not be overthrown, subdued his kingdom, and released the people, and made them free. So I know that God is doing something. God is doing something. And I believe by that the Lord was letting me know that we have a deliverance at hand. And one thing that I don't want to do, and I've emphasized this a lot of times, and that is to take your sovereignty. God wants you to have your sovereignty. And like I told a brother the other day, what the Lord wants me to do is not to always tell you as an individual what you must do on your jobs and in your homes and whatever, but rather for me to preach the gospel, to testify the mind of Christ, and as you listen, you find yourself in the mind of Christ and make your own sovereign decisions according to the mind of Christ. Thus it makes God in control of you and not Brother Pike. And then when Brother Pike is not present, the mind is still present, and you find yourself in the time of need, you find yourself in the mind of Christ, and you continue on in your sovereignty to have a great life, and you are thus by that led to Christ, the chief shepherd, while I am a helper of your faith, and while I witness to you the gospel. But if you do this, then you'll be strong people in God. Nobody will have control of you nor dominate your mind. Otherwise, you're going to become a prey to cunning minds, and if not their mind, to your own cunning thinking and your own cunning mind. And you're going to find yourself following your own cunning thoughts when God told you not to lean to your own understanding. And also causing your wife and children and those around and about you to follow your own cunning decisions and cunning mind and what you think ought to be done. So then you're going to be worse off than if you'd follow somebody else. Because if you follow somebody, you can always get away from them and get straightened out. But if you're perverted in your own thinking, can't nobody help you. Because you've rejected God and you're so sure you're right, yet you're wrong. There's a way that seemeth right unto man. The end of those ways are the ways of death. All right, there is a way. Jesus said, I'm the way. That's the way, the truth, and the life. The word of the living God. I noticed the papers emphasize that Brother Pike said, to follow after the word. Don't follow after anybody's mind. I made that clear to the reporter. Follow after the word of God. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? I love you and I appreciate you. I thank you for everything you're doing. The paper stated that you was going to reward me with a Cadillac and a guitar. And I sure hope that that won't be my reward. I hope that you'll reward me with your love and confidence. Well, that's what I'd like to be rewarded with, is the love and confidence from your heart in that I am trying to love you, in that I have tried to tell you the truth. And as I said to the newspaper man, I repeat it again, I related it to you. I said, we don't care how much truth you print, because that's what we want, is the truth. For truth makes wholesome living. Gives us a better life when people know. Paul said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel, which is the spirit of truth. But at the same time, I said, we don't appreciate those things or those articles when they're perverted and rearranged that reflect people and bring charges and accusations that ought not to be, when they're blown out of proportion. And I don't. I didn't when I made that statement to him, and I still don't. But let them say what they want to, for so persecuted they're the prophets before us. Let's rejoice, be glad, leap for joy. He said, great is your reward in heaven. The world loveth its own. If we were of the world, they would love us. But because we're not of the world, they hate us. And as the woman said, we're not that much concerned about this world. I believe that we should be concerned about things in this world. Don't you? Only for Christ's sake. I'm not a fanatic in the sense that I don't feel that we should be concerned about our family, our children, wives, homes, cars, whatever. The Bible said concerning the ground where Moses stood, said it is holy ground. The Bible speaks of the prophets saying holy apostles and prophets. The Bible speaks of our body saying be holy in body. And I don't believe that doing natural things causes a man to be unspiritual. Because Noah was a very spiritual man and he built a boat. Worked on it a long time. Took a lot of his mind and time. But he was a perfect man in his generation. The Bible says so. And I believe that these bodies of ours are holy temples of God. Be holy in body. Be holy for I'm holy. Be holy in body. So I believe that there's natural things that God has made holy to honor the Lord with our substance. But at the same time, we're not concerned about this world. Praise God. Let your conversation be in heaven. Place your affection on things above. Just honor the Lord with your substance here. Let it be precious in your sight for the use of Christ and for the need of others. And let that be it. Just honor God with it. Don't lay it up as a treasure, for where your treasures are, there your heart will be also. Lay up your treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal and where moth doesn't corrupt. Let's sing this little song again, they that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Let's sing it again, can we? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary.